entertainment.
Oh, all right. So,
do it again, please.
We are in Matthew chapter 13. We are finishing up the mustard seed. And then we're going to do Luke and do some mustard seed there. And Lauren has brought in mustard seeds. And you have got to see these things. Because as I look at this, this is really increasing my faith. This is pretty powerful. I'm looking at, I knew mustard seeds were small, but this is amazing. And the scripture says, you don't quite need a magnifying glass, but you need a lot of faith. Because if you think one of these can turn into something great, the visual on this is just so powerful. In fact, oh my goodness. I'm going to take one of these if it's okay.
Mm-hmm. Everybody can take one.
Wow. I mean,
Where are we going to put it?
You can keep it. Hey, you can keep it under your fingernail if you want to, because I mean, it is that small. I mean, I got mucus that's bigger than this. But anyway, oh come on, we're grown people.
You're not going to get medical.
Jimmy, you've been out sick for 2 weeks. I know you. Man, just for those on the screen, I don't know if you can.
We've been on hiatus.
You didn't want us to come.
Yeah, you said that Parker's had the excuse.
If you,
I'm gonna. I bought donuts. That's it. That's it. The excuse.
Oh, it just fell.
just left.
I need another one. It just fell. Oh, I ain't finding that. All right, Lauren, I'm gonna need another one because one just fell off my arm here. And just all right.
We're gonna have a mustard bush in here soon.
No. All right. So Matthew chapter 3, we really have finished up. Thank you so much. We really have. So I want to show on the screen, this is what a mustard seed looks like. I don't want to drop it because it'll fall on my computer. And
put it on your plate where you don't eat it. Just don't make it. Don't eat it.
It's small, all right? It is really, really small, all right? Don't roll off. Okay, Matthew. Now, amazingly, we are not going to talk about the mustard seed right away. We're going to move to the other parable. And thanks again, Lauren, for...
Thank you, Lauren.
I mean,
Getting good up in here.
That little thing right there is supposed to produce some great stuff. That is awesome. That's how awesome God... You know what? That is how awesome God is.
What I like about it is that shows you how small a faith you may have, that it can grow into something bigger.
It is designed, and God's plan is that this become great. Wow.
Awesome.
That is just so awesome. What a great visual aid. What a great visual aid. This is awesome. So awesome. Thank you so much. All right. Here we go. I got to get out of here in 30 minutes, so we're gonna get through another parable. All right. And then we'll come back to the mustard seed. Matthew chapter 13, verse 33. Another parable spoke he unto them. The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal. Okay? So let's take the parable apart. Just one verse. I'm sure we can do one verse in 30 minutes. Al's not here, so that makes things a lot easier. Kingdom of heaven. We remember from our previous study with the mustard seed what the kingdom of heaven represents. The kingdom of heaven represents God's reign. God's reign in our life. His dominion in our life starts out small like a mustard seed and is designed to grow. All right? Not only that, God's reign on the earth will be like this. Is God in control?
Yes.
He's going to be more in control in just a little bit, all right, where his kingdom comes to its fruition here on the earth. Hopefully, his kingdom is starting to come to fruition in our lives. Obviously, it started small, and it continues to grow inside of us.
It's like the yeast is a small ingredient within the whole.
Let's talk about the yeast instead of the mustard seed. That's very good. So, I don't know anything about cooking, and you already heard my cooking story. All right, there's a couple of you that have not heard my cooking story, which means the rest of you are very blessed because I told you not to ever share my cooking story, and since some people don't know it, you have kept your word. All right, good. All right, and if I have time, I might share with you the cooking story. All right, again, I'm sure somebody will get another. Dina, you've never heard the cooking story?
Nope.
All right. All right. The kingdom of heaven, or God reigning in our lives, is like unto leaven. Now, the cooking story will tell you that I don't know anything about cooking, except for breakfast food. All right, so, which a woman took and hid 3 measures of meal until the whole was leavened. Leaven is yeast. I do know that. And you only need a small amount of yeast to cause bread to rise, and the kingdom of heaven is like that. Now, I don't know if we got any bakers in here or not, but what do you have to do with the leaven in order to get it to start to do what leaven do? You got
to
put it in there. It's got to be buried. It works on the inside. So
it
takes time for it to rise, all right, but it's going to rise, amen? It takes time for that little mustard seed. It takes time for the yeast. But we know by design what starts out small is going to be big. All right. Now, what do you have to do once the leaven is inside the dough?
You got to knead it in.
You got
to
knead it or fold it.
And punch it.
You got to punch it. You got to soften it up. All right. So, what represents the dough or the meal here in the story?
It's the good soil.
The good soil.
It's the person.
It's your heart or your mind. It's your heart. You got to get that leaven in the heart, and you got to knead it and punch it. And I know knead is with a K, but I'm talking about the N-E-E-D. You got to need God to soften up your heart till you get to that point where you say, I need, ooh, that could preach. I need God because my heart is ready to receive this leaven. And you got to fold it and knead it and you got to punch it or whatever. It's got to be broken. And the yeast, just that little bit of yeast gets in there, all right? Fold it into the, and it starts out small, but eventually it grows and it expands and it touches and impacts the entire loaf. I don't know because I don't cook, but that's what the word says. So some, is that how it works in the natural?
It is how it works in the natural, but the yeast is a dry powder at first.
Oh, Lord, I spoke too soon.
Yeah. I had eye problems this
morning.
I couldn't open my eyes.
Yeah. Some of us got eyes and still blind. But anyway.
Last
all right. Boy, those some nice black shoes and got the black leather jacket and the black thing. Either you Johnny Cash or a gray version of Shaq. Which one is that? That's what you get for coming in here late. But anyway. All right. Well, better late than never. And you missed the part about a mustard seed. This is what a mustard seed looks like.
But it's not on the podcast.
See, I'm the only one now.
It is on the podcast. She loaded it yesterday, and I sent you a link. And all you had to do was open the link. I sent you an email.
It ain't on Matthew.
I went.
Yesterday? You put it on yesterday?
Yeah.
We've been checking all week.
Yeah, but you didn't have to. I gave you an email. Did you not get the email?
No.
Well, we were occupied yesterday.
We had baby yesterday.
She had us going.
Okay. I sent that email like early in the week, and it had a link, and you downloaded it. You burned into my 30 minutes. It only yeast. Thank you very much. It only takes a little leaven to cause the whole thing to just blow up. Anyways, so let's get back on track.
But in the natural, when I've used it a time or two, it's a powder.
Yes.
And you have to add water to activate the yeast. To get it to work.
The word.
So that word needs a little Holy Ghost on it. All right. So it expands in the word, just like you would expand the mustard seed. And as Roger said last week, it needs water in order to grow. Spirit. And it leavens. Yes, ma'am.
It's also temperature and the right surroundings.
Wait a minute. Right surrounding temperature. Yeah. So it's got to be warm?
It's got to be warm.
Oh, wait. You mean we got to go through some fiery situations? It takes a little heat in order to get things going. So count it not strange when you go through various fiery trials. It's part of the process. Oh, my God. What a good
thing. You have to cover it.
Yeah, you got to cover it.
You got to cover it.
You got to cover it
so it can rise.
You mean it's got to be covered so it can rise? It don't just rise without being covered?
Got to be covered by the blood, got to be covered by prayer.
Come on, priest. I'm about to say hallelujah up in this place, up in here, up in here.
Your kinsman redeemer.
You got to be covered.
You got to be covered.
Hey, amen. I didn't miss you, Susan. Go on. All that from a parable. And I don't know that. So praise God for you guys teaching me because I don't cook. That's awesome. Woo. That is awesome. That's a word. Now, the leaven goes through the entire loaf. It says here in the scripture, the whole was leaven, which means, here's my Christian experience right here. The leaven is on the inside of me. God has molded and shaped and pounded my heart so it's humble. I'm in need, and he put that leaven in there. I got some Holy Ghost water or whatever, and it's starting to spread. I just said something. It's starting to spread, but there still might be pockets in my life where it just ain't reached just yet. Still got some strongholds, some outlying areas where I don't need God to be involved in, or I'm embarrassed or whatever it is. There's some areas that he may not have reached yet.
Yeah, sometimes bread don't rise good.
And sometimes bread, Wait. Sometimes bread doesn't rise good. Hold on to that thought.
Even a loaf can fail.
Look at that. Hold on. Don't. Now, wait a minute. Did you say even a loaf can fail?
Fail. Like
oh, okay. All right.
Fall.
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 You got that southern drawl. I didn't know whether you're saying fail or fall. All
right.
Okay. We're straight. We got it. Go on, Earl. I hear you, bro. All right. So you think about that. Don't be discouraged if God has not completely gotten reign over your life. It's part of the process. It's in the works. Just keep kneading that part where it needs to spread.
Right.
Got it? Mm-hmm. I got some grits the other day. Some white hominy grits. Love them grits. But it didn't have any. Got it from Chappie's, but it didn't have any
Chappie
salt.
Chappie has the best grits.
Yeah, they got some good grits over there.
Sir.
But I need a little salt and pepper in my grits. and I put some salt and pepper in the middle of the container of grits, and then what do I got to do afterwards? Got to stir it up, got to stir it up, got to mix it up, because either it's going to be too salty on one side and not enough on the other, got to mix it up. I got to stir it. Do I only need to stir it in the middle, or do I need to stir it on? Yeah. God is doing something in my life where he's starting to stir up that leaven, that goodness throughout all areas of my life. I might still have some strongholds or some little small pockets where he's still working on, but it's part of the process. Part of the process.
And you can share bread. When I was in the military, we would make up a loaf of bread. And then you would give that ingredient to someone else, and that person would give to you. Really
I ain't got this in my notes, so let me figure out, because I don't know how to cook. So the bread's got to be covered. It's got to be covered. You got to have water to activate. You got to knead it. What else you said? You said it can. You got
heat.
Heat. It needs heat. Heat. Got to cook it. Yep. Got to cook it. Oh, gotta let it cool. You mean after it's been hot? When it's hot, and you're hot and you're mad hot, you better before you share the bread with anybody else, you better let it cool off a little bit. Yes, sir. How many people that got hot and? And you burning somebody else up. All right, here, just gotta cool, gotta cool it now. I can't remember the name of the group now. But anyway, now you gotta cool it now. All right, just slow down. All right. Now, I did some research on this. 3 measures of meal. So. What is leaven? Leaven is a substance like yeast, made to grow. See that 1 Corinthians 5. All right, we're going to talk about this. Leaven represents sin in the Bible or whatever. But I did some research here. 3 measures of meal. That's like 40 to 60 pounds of dough or 5 dozen loaves. Now, the Chuckster likes to eat. But I can't eat 5 dozen donuts by myself.
No, you wouldn't live like that.
No. Yeah. I got a fast metabolism, but it ain't that fast. And this goes back to what our sister said about the sharing. Why does the parable talk about this amount of overflow? This is certainly more than what I need. 5 dozen loaves. Because, and she said it, it is not just about us. The kingdom of God and the purpose of the kingdom of God and the purpose of his reign in our lives is not just about us. It's to produce overflow and abundance. It's to take our sack lunch of 2 fish and some size and be able to feed a multitude. We are not insignificant. God wants to take our insignificance and grow it to something where he has reign and control. And all of a sudden, we expand. It's his process, the way this works is we get bigger, we expand. As we surrender more to him, he rises us up. And then we are a blessing and we feed other folk. Wow.
Like the mustard bush?
Like the mustard bush. Same principle.
Yeah, the kingdom started out small.
Kingdom started out small. And now it is the biggest religion in the world.
Well, also look at the word hid, which means I look at you. I can't tell that you, the Holy Spirit's in you until I...
Right.
Till we start seeing the fruit.
Right.
And that's the leaven process.
Yes.
It's growing. I mean,
how'd you get so big?
I mean, you
it started
know,
on
you
the
don't
inside.
Get saved, ended up with a halo, so everybody can say, well, he has a halo. It's hidden until you act on it or until it starts working.
It's hidden until Feast 5.
Yeah.
When you take what's inside of you by the power of the Holy Spirit and you start doing something for others, you start extending mercy to others, you have that relationship with God on the inside, and then you start to see a change on the outside. I just gave you the feast.
Well, and that amount of bread in those days didn't have any preservatives in it, so it had to have been shared or it would have rotten before one family could eat it.
So you got to share it. It was designed to share and share quickly. All right? Okay. 15 minutes. I still think we might be able to get through this one. All right. Here we go. All right. Now, it presents a problem, though. And this is the problem. Leaven represents sin in the Bible. So I'm looking at a good aspect here where leaven blows this thing up. And it gets greater. It's hidden. It starts on the inside. But leaven throughout the Bible is a problem.
That's why they made unleavened bread.
Unleavened bread early in the process is unleavened bread. When you look at the feasts, okay, it is unleavened bread. That is feast number 2, where you repent. And you put off that old leaven and those old thoughts. And you put your hope in the Word and the resurrected Christ.
You bury all that stuff.
You bury all that stuff. It seems to me to be a contradiction. What is he trying to say? Now, you got to realize who Jesus is talking to in this as well. He's talking to a crowd of Jews who the very word leaven connected to this would have made him go, ew.
Well, yes and no. I mean, they still used it in real life.
They still used it. But when you're talking about kingdom type stuff or whatever, they would have understood clearly unleavened bread is connected to a level of holiness. Now, we got to see what that means for us today. So, I have the Feast of Unleavened Bread in my notes. Because unleavened bread means you have no leaven. Mm-hmm. Anybody ever seen bread that ain't got any leaven in it?
Yeah.
Yeah, looks like a saltine cracker. It's just as flat as it can be. Ain't no pride in that. Yeah.
Well, I kind of look at it as the leaven is just the process. It's used to spread.
Yes.
And unleavened is the feast of the unleavened is repentance. If you repent something, you don't spread it out. It's you're repenting this.
I like what you're saying. So,
but
let's look at this.
Sin can spread just like the gospel can spread.
Oh! Sin can spread just like the gospel can spread. All right, so there's a process where you need to be flat. You don't need to be rising up. You need to be humbling and ratcheting this thing down. Step number 2.
Right.
Because 1, you recognize your need. Mm-hmm. If you recognize your need and you still think you're big and bad enough to do it on your own, then you still got some leaven in you. Step 2 is, I got to change. That leaven is gone. I'm flat. I'm not puffed up. Pride's not the issue here. And I'm ready to put my faith and trust in the Word of God so that it can marinate and spread and give me that hope. And then the Holy Spirit is that water that starts to permeate. And I ought to start seeing some results. Come on, mustard seed. I ought to start seeing some growth, some shoots, some progress, some improvement. Amen. Now, there's another feast called the Feast of Pentecost. It is feast number 4. And in that feast, something happens. It is the only feast. I think Roger's got his little note thing out. Praise the Lord. All right.
I got mine too.
Got two. Look at that. I got some in the car. I'm going to have to get you guys a couple of notes or whatever.
Yeah, I got this from you.
Yeah, amen. That's good. All right. Yeah, all right. In the Feast of Pentecost in Leviticus, they give a sacrifice. It is not unleavened bread. There are two loaves, and both of them contain leaven. Two loaves are taken by the priest and weighed before the Lord as a sacrifice. And God accepts the sacrifice. And that's outlined in Leviticus, and it happens during the Feast of Pentecost. Two loaves are presented. Here is the thinking, the theory around that. In Exodus 19, the first significant day of Pentecost, where they receive the law and the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai, all right, Israel is birthed as a nation. They have laws now, and they are governed, and they become a nation. In Acts chapter 2, during the Feast of Pentecost, what becomes established? The church. The establishment of two. Jews.
Gentiles.
God accepts them both as they are. Is there leaven in the Jewish state? Mm-hmm. You best believe it. Judaism is one of the most segregated religions. I mean, against women, against, you know, proselytes, Gentiles. I mean, you know, there's just only so far you can get in the... Is there leaven in the church? So, while the kingdom of heaven, like this today, is something that's growing and expanding, we have to also be concerned and careful that there is leaven that comes out of this or can infiltrate the kingdom of God as well. Here's the interesting thing. God, at this point in the process, accepts both with the leaven. So here's where I have to repent after I saw this. All right. Because for years, as I get to see and experience church, I have become sour on religiosity. I'm more on the relationship rather than religion, because I see so many crazy church Pharisees running around out there, and I'm like, man, this just turns me off. And it's only been several months ago that I have stopped really talking about, you know, crazy church people and things like that. And instead of being anti-church slash religion, I'm more pro-relationship, and then bring that pro-relationship into the church. And I apologize if I have, I know this is not applicable here for this group, but I apologize if I've given the interpretation or the impression that I am against church and religion. And let me correct that right now, because I'm not. Though I have a disdain for the hypocrisy. In fact, people will say, I'm not going to church because it's full of hypocrites. And I'm down with that, and I understand that, and I don't like it either, but this just messed me up. Because this is what the Feast of Pentecost said. It said, God, who is all-knowing and knows how this process is supposed to work, says, I know their sin with the Hebrews, and I know their sin with the Gentiles, and I know their sin in the government, and I also know their sin in the church. But I accept the church as it is, knowing that if you go through the rest of the process, Yom Kippur, Day of Atonement, that I take care of all of that as it continues to go through the process. Amen. And so, am I bigger and badder than God? Am I, Chuck, more holy than God? That I'm like, hey, I don't do church because there's hypocrisy in the church. But the God that I serve says, not only do I accept the church with the leaven in it, I accept you with the leaven still inside of you. I accept that knowing that I'm continuing to weed that out, and the time will come where the Babylon in the church is removed.
Right.
In the meantime, I should stand on faith and continue to prop up worship,
amen.
Church,
even if your faith
religion,
is small as mustard.
Because I know how this works out in the end. God who shows up at church, come on now,
yeah.
You know there's got to be a few hypocrites. Not Von Ford. Von Ford's pretty good play, but you know there's got to be a good. There's never one or two up in there and then slipped up in there. All right, you know that there's hypocrisy in the church.
Well, we got members, don't we?
We got members. Not everybody's going to speak to you on your way into the church. There's going to be some hypocrites that are going to show up at your worship service. But guess who else will show up at your worship service if you are praying and you got a few people that are faithful and want to get their praise on? God and the Spirit will show up in your church and your religion in spite of the hypocrisy. And so if God shows up at church, my butt's going to show up too.
Did we not talk about the weeds and the tares?
Yeah, we did talk about the wheat and the tares. I want to make sure I'm not in tare village. Because I'm so self-righteous that I miss it and think that I'm holier. I am not holier than God. And if God shows up, I better be there too. In person, in Zoom, in prayer, however it is. You know. Heck, I'll go with Al and chip in on the gas. I mean,
And
the devil wants, because that's the argument that they have, the hypocrites. Yeah, they're hypocrites, but God shows up too. I'm not there for the hypocrites and the haters.
You got to keep on going to church, no matter if you got sin, no matter what, you got a marriage problem or whatever, you just keep on going, So really, we all are hypocrites, but we just keep on going, you know, trying to get closer.
I got to watch the leaven in my spiritual Christian growth.
All right,
that's just this is just powerful to me. Yeah.
Chuck, the yes. difference to me in what our faith is, and to me the word religion is God's. I mean, is man's effort to reach God.
Okay.
In our faith and our belief and our seeking God, it's God reaching down to man, not
absolutely
trying to get to God.
No, yeah, but when we allow him to get in, mm-hmm. like that mustard seed, like that leaven, the process is he starts to grow in our life and gets more control and reign, and we become great so that we can be a blessing to somebody else. And I don't want the enemy to derail that by thinking in my success and my progress and in my growth, as I see things coming out of that mustard seed out of the soil and I'm looking at the results and things start to look real good or whatever, I don't want to get to the point where the leaven or the pride comes back in and the self-righteousness comes back in, which is taken care of in step number 6, and I miss God. Like some churches miss God. So, got some notes here from some of my commentaries and that I like or whatever. The gospel spreads throughout the world even as leaven does. Praise God. Many regard this as a beautiful picture of the kingdom of God working its way through the whole world. Just like he's working his way through our lives. But then we look at this, and this is Guzik. I like Guzik. Again, it also points to a description of corruption in the kingdom community. And Guzik again, Jesus announced that his kingdom community would also be threatened by corruption and impurity. And Susan already mentioned this again. We already went through the parable of the wheat and the tares. And the kingdom of heaven is like that. There's wheat and tares growing up, but I'm still going to show up on that field.
Is this the correct, I'm just trying to get it straight in my mind, is this the correct statement? So there, like in our parable today, there's righteous leaven and there's unrighteous leaven that we don't want to be expanding. We want the righteous leaven to be expanded.
I'm going to, from my perspective, I'm going to go with that, if that works for you. And if there's a scripture that kind of sort of points to that, I think it's in 1 Corinthians where Paul says, don't celebrate it with the old leaven, but put on the new leaven. I want to say I wrote that down somewhere. Yeah, it's got to be in 1 Corinthians somewhere, like 1 Corinthians 5 or something like that or whatever. Right.
See, I don't see leaven as being evil or good. It's just the action. It's using it as the action. It's used as a...
Leaven is the action.
Yeah, it's the action.
But when I see it from the perspective of the feast, I see it as a process, because I see leaven as being something you need to be careful with. Because throughout Scripture, he's talking about beware leaven, beware leaven. Beware 11. In fact, I'll find that before. Oh, yes.
Yeah, I mean, it starts in one place and it spreads throughout. Yeah. It can be good or bad.
And I want to make sure that my success, as God starts to rule my life, I want to make sure that my success doesn't all of a sudden become prideful. Oh, here you go.
It's on Corinthians 1:6. You're boasting about this terrible. Yeah. Don't you realize that this is a sin like a little yeast that spread throughout the whole. Go get rid of the old yeast by removing this wicked person from among you. That's what you don't mind.
What is it, 1 Corinthians what?
I like Susan's perspective. Yeah, I'm out of time here. I like Susan's perspective. Let me just look this up real quick. How do I want to look this up?
Your glorying is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven
leavens
the whole lump?
Yep.
Therefore purge out the old leaven that you may be a new lump.
There you go.
Since you have truly...
Because the old leaven doesn't work.
Right. Okay, so where are you reading from?
What he was reading, just a different version.
Oh, the funny version threw me off. Read your version again.
It's
funny.
It's 1 Corinthians. It's 1 Corinthians 5.
All right, 1 Corinthians 5. That's what I thought. Yeah.
6 through 8, really.
Yeah, okay. If you could read that again for us.
Your glorying is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump?
Yes.
Therefore, purge out the old leaven that you may be a new lump.
Right.
Since you truly are unleavened. For indeed, Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth.
Okay. So it is a process. It is a process for expanding, but it can be used for good or evil. So you got to be careful. All right. That takes care of that. I was playing basketball yesterday, and was at the gym and was having a marvelous time. Those young kids were just so awed at my abilities, and I was thanking God. I was like, I'm 63, praise the Lord, I can still drop it like it's hot. It's just great. And I was thanking God for what he was doing for me, but I was showing out in front of these kids, and Al, you know what was going on. You know, pride started to slip in. The lemon started to grow. And I sat out that one game that I played so well at, because I know how this works. So I said, let me just quit now while I'm ahead. But then as I was sitting on the sideline, the young boys came came and they said, "Will you want to play? Will you please play with us, sir?" You know, and I'm like, "But you got young guys coming in." I said, "They look like they might be better than me." They said, "No, but we want you. We want you because you play hard and you got that wisdom." And I'm like, "Yeah." And I went back out there, and I played again out, and I missed a layup that would have won the game.
Your legs
were tired.
Yeah, his body was like,
wait. And I'm like,
pride comes before the fall.
And I felt so bad. And it bothered me because they no longer celebrated my greatness. And I was I felt so bad that I missed this layup because it would have won the game. And I'm like, oh my goodness. And then I realized as I heard some of them cussing and stuff like that or whatever, like the spirit just kind of hit me. Let me tell you something, son. What your pride just hit. You worried about missing the layup. You just missed an opportunity in the kingdom. And then Desmond Dawson and Hacksaw Ridge movie came on where he's in there, "Lord, just give me one more. Just give me one more." And so instead of worrying about the layup and how people were thinking and feeling about me, I started repenting and purging out that pride and leaven and saying, "Lord, in my pride, I missed an opportunity. Just give me one more chance. I'm going to get some of my little business cards. I'm going to let them know, hey, I'm preaching at this church the month of, and why don't y'all come out and hear the let me give you one of my ink pens. I've got the little ministry website. Let me introduce you to the King rather than introducing you to my jump shot." Don't protect what God is doing and growing in us so that the pride or the leaven doesn't get in and mess up. Crazy church people look crazy all the time in different ways. And Saturday afternoon at the gym, I became crazy church person.
We all do sometimes.
All right. I got to get out of here. I got to go. You guys have a blessed day. I'm going to start wrapping up. Thank you for my donut. Anybody got any last things they want to talk about on this one? Three is the perfect number of witnesses. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Two is the minimum number of witnesses. Two lows. But three represents the perfect number of witnesses. And it measures completeness as you lead to seven, which is the number of perfection. Yeah. Jewish law. You got to have at least two witnesses. And you got three witnesses, you gone. All right.